I have an instrument in my living room. It's a steel pan. And whenever a song comes to my head, I jump on my steel pan and I start playing. That's a nuisance to the person living upstairs. That's like I'm horrible, right? So that's a nuisance.
That was Egbert Gay talking with Elias Makos just a couple of weeks ago, or two, 3 weeks ago. So it was shocking to hear the news after we got off the air yesterday that Egbert Gay had passed away at the age of 67 of a sudden heart attack. And we've heard from a lot of people who have worked with him, who have known him over the years, and they've all had very similar and very loving things to say about him. Well, when I got started here at CJD, my next guest, Rob Braid, was the boss, and he hired Egbert. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Dan. I've turned down my radio.
I don't think we'd have to tell you that, though.
You know, Dan, he was really not a very good pan player.
Well,
but he loved it. He loved it. It was his soul.
Absolutely. And he talked about it. He talked about it a lot. I'd never gotten the chance to hear him play pan.
Oh, I used to hang around with him when he played a lot. And from time to time, he played it in the parade. And it was a great place of pride for him. He was a strong trini, put it that way.
Yeah. And well, how long have you known him? How did you meet him?
Well, I'll tell you the story of how Egbert came to CJD. I think it's kind of informative. And one of the great pleasures and honors of my career was that every Wednesday I got to sit down with George Balkan and Gord Sinclair and Ted Blackman. And there was no phone calls and nobody knocked on the door. And we just talked about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about what was going on in the world and what that meant to CJD and what we had to do to stay current. And we came to the realization that the radio station was too white and too right. And we decided to sort of address those things. Along came Mariana Simonioni, who at the time was the president of the Italian Canadian Chamber of Commerce, and mm-hmm. and one of the people we brought in was Egbert. And you know, he instantaneously started fighting with Tommy Schnurmacher, who was always very right. And as Tommy said the other day after Egbert's passing, that they always disagreed politically, but they became the dearest of friends.
Yeah.
You know, Egbert was that kind of rassembleur, you know, he always brought people into his fold. But I'll tell you what, he brought a very much more left listening perspective to the radio station that had been typical over the years of, you know, Conrad Black and Alan Slate owning the place, which neither of which anybody had ever called comrade. So Egbert was just at that leaning it, and we teased him mercilessly about it. We loved him for it. And I'll never forget one day when I got up out of my oak panel corner office on 4th Street, and
sure.
I walked into the studio just during a break, and it was a gang of four, and I guess Tommy was in there, and maybe Mariana and Gord. And I opened up the door, and I said, you know, Egbert, the reason we love having you around here is you always got to have somebody in the studio who's always wrong.
But that's the funny thing is he kind of became, you know, he took that from pretty much everybody because he was the lone lefty. But what everyone seems to be saying is a variation on, you know, I didn't agree with him, but what was it about Egbert that was came after that but dot, dot, dot?
He was the kind of guy you just wanted to be around. You wanted to be part of his group. You wanted to be near him because he was sincere. He was erudite. He had things to say that were kind of outside the mainstream bubble. I'm not saying that CJD was a bunch of right-wing, you know, knee-jerk conservatives. Far from it. It was a great mixture of men and women. We were pretty... You know, we got to be pretty gender equal. We, you know, we embraced the BIPOC LGBTQ thing quite well. Not back in those days, not back in the early 90s. I mean, that wasn't, you know, that was just blossoming at that point.
Yeah.
But everybody wanted to be part of Egbert's crowd. He was worthy of respect. He was a self-made man. And Elizabeth and Imar were wonderful people. And we all just adored them. You know, Imar went in and worked that newspaper, Caribbean Contact, so well. I tell you, he loved his white Trini rum.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't a big drinker. But, you know, he would carry some... I'm going to tell you a last little funny story about
yeah.
Egbert. He loved his Trini rum, and it's pretty powerful stuff if you've ever had any. You gotta treat that stuff with respect. So he carried back some from me when he went to Trinidad from time to time and Tobago, and little tiny bottles. And one time he brought some back, and Sam Roberts and I bumped into each other, and it was mm-hmm. early in Sam's career, our poet laureate from Beaconsfield, and the musician. And I gave one of these little bottles to Sam, and he was getting on a tour bus going to Newfoundland. Well, Sam didn't really, Sam's not much of a drinker, and he drank that little bottle on the way to Newfoundland, and all I can say is I don't think he's ever forgiven me.
But that was a bottle, as you say, brought to you, but from Egbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Listen, I love the man. He was a friend, and we've heard everybody say that, and everybody had a different friendship with Egbert, and ours was a relationship of real mutual respect, and he knew that I worshiped the separation of church and state, and the newsroom was the church, and I was the state.
Yeah.
And one of the great successes of CJD has always been that separation. And I'll tell you what, Egbert sure was the church.
Well said. Thank you so much, Rob. Good to hear your memories about him. Cheers.
Thank you.